scripture first?
But actually, I think I want to pray first. Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity for all of us, Lord, to hear your word and to hear how faithful you are and how good you are to us. I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in each heart for the words, Lord, that are going to go forth from you. They're coming through my voice, but I believe, Lord, it's your word to this body, your word to each person here. Lord, we so need to be identified with who you have created us to be. And so, yes, Holy Spirit, have your way here this morning in every heart. In Jesus' name. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, for there's not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. What a great scripture that is. He knows us. He knows us from right in the very, 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 very beginning. Right? So I'm going to read some of this, and some of it I won't read. Some of it I'll just from my memory, But he had a plan for me before my life was actually born, before I was here. And it's really been in the past while that it's been working, he's been working it out in my life, who I am. Because I had a very confusing childhood, and I'm going to tell you about that. I used to live in a little fishing village up on the BC coast called Namu. It's up by Bella Coola. And I was up there for about 7 years. I finished grade one there. It was a schoolroom. It was grade one to grade 12. And I knew everybody in there. I knew everybody in town. It was a kid's paradise. It was wonderful. I could go anywhere and do anything. There was no cars. You know, there's just forklifts, and that was it. It was a cannery for BC cannery, and they used to can the fish, right? So that's what they did. But my mom realized that there wasn't much of a life there in that little small town, so she decided to take us to Vancouver. And so I went from this little small fishing village to the big city of Vancouver, and started grade two there. And that kind of freaked me out, because there was about maybe 30 kids in my school in Namu, and there's about 1,000 in this one in Vancouver. So I was like a fish out of water. And so it kind of set me back a bit. But then, 2 months later, we moved to Mission. And the whole process started all over again. And now I was even more like a fish out of water, because I was just kind of like a nervous wreck, you know, because I was this little kid, this little country bumpkin in the big city, right? And so 2 months later after that, we moved to Edmonton, and so I was done. I was finished. I had no friends. I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know where I was, who I was, any of that kind of stuff. So when we moved to Edmonton, it didn't get any better because I was never in one school for more than 1 year. We moved and we moved and we moved, and so I didn't make any friends. And so I was lost. I was really, really lost. And then then music came into my life. I was about 11 years old. And I think there's a, might be a picture up there. I was so keen to be a musician that I built my first drum set. And music captivated me. And to be quite honest, it saved my life, right? Because I was in such a bad place. It just as a kid, you know, and how does a kid get into a bad place, right? But I, from all the experiences I had, I was just really shell-shocked, right? So it was, so my brother, on the next slide, it shows my brother and my dad and I, and my dad played the clarinet, and my brother played Hawaiian guitar. Have you ever, anyone heard of a Hawaiian guitar? A few of us older people, yeah. And he was actually pretty good at it, but my parents were our biggest encouragers. They wanted us to be musicians, right? And so I fully took on the identity of being a musician. It really saved my life. It was my savior. It was my God. Because it redeemed me from the life that I had, right? Now I was into a new life. And so that followed me for many, many years, that it was what I did is who I am. And I think maybe as men, I don't know, our jobs can be like that. You know, our jobs can be that God before us, that we will do anything, you know, to keep doing it or keep making money or whatever we do. And really, it's not what we do, it's who we are. And but anyways, I was a fairly successful musician. I was in lots of successful bands and that kind of thing, and which just reinforced the fact that music was who I was. And that's, I don't know what else. Oh yeah, there we go. It's a very enticing thing to be drawn into this kind of lifestyle, because you know, people always come up and say, "Oh, he did a great job," and all this kind of stuff, and you got records out and you're successful and doing tours and playing with famous people, and it's quite the thing. And again, I was only 16, 17 years old, so I was still just taking this all in. And so it was very hard to not associate who I was without music being involved in that. But I mean, after a while, you know, touring and doing all that kind of stuff, I just got really tired of it. I got tired of being on the road all the time. And I wanted a family. And I met Maria, and we started to have a family. And I was still playing. I was working full-time as a carpenter and playing full-time as a musician as well. And I don't know how I ever did that, but I couldn't get past the thing that it's still, I'm a musician, I'm a carpenter, I'm a father, I'm a, you know, all those things. All those things describe who I am. And really, it's not about that. It's all about what God has called me to, what He has put into me, right? And you know, music was such a gift to me, but I wasn't using it in the proper way, right? I was using it for my own purposes instead of Him. He's the one that created music, and I was using it for carnal things, right? God orders my steps, and that's kind of what was happening. And We sang about that a little bit earlier. And so, you know, the Lord really, really wants us to worship Him and worship Him alone. And I just knew that that I wasn't doing that. And our God is a jealous God. He wants His own to worship Him alone. A house divided cannot stand. I could not worship music and worship Him, right? So my life was divided, and it did not stand. I went through a midlife crisis, as I think lots of guys do around their 40s. What the heck is going on? Like you know, what's happening with life? I haven't accomplished the things I wanted to, or my life's gone in different directions. And so I moved my family out here from Edmonton. And I think you probably all know that you can move away from your problems, but when you move, you generally bring them with you, right? You pack that suitcase, right? And, you know, and that's what happens. So life was a bit better here. I gave up music for a couple of years. I didn't want my life to be music. But I couldn't stay away from it because it's just too ingrained, right? It's too much who I was. And then we got into this church, and I got involved in the music, and slowly started to do this. And this church has been such a blessing because they've allowed me to do that, right? And it's been a blessing. But then we used to go over to Vancouver every now and again, and we would go to these worship conferences. Kathy and I and a few other worship team members went over one time to see Robin Mark. Anyone know Robin Mark? You remember him? That was back in the 2000s, early 2000s. And I'm just aching to be a musician again, right? I mean, playing in church was cool, but being up on the big stage, right? I mean, I spent so many hours up on the big stage, right? And I loved that. I just loved that. And so I took my guitar and just make sure everyone knows I'm a musician, right? To this conference. This is somewhat embarrassing, so we have to go with it. So so anyway, just to make the point that I was a musician, I went right down the very front row, right in the middle there, and so there's no one in front of me, and I put my guitar, you know, by my side here, and just kind of waited. How embarrassing is this? Anyway, so thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because what happened is that I felt His hand on the back of my head as I'm sitting, and this hand pushed me down. Like that, pushed me right down onto my knees, right in the very front. Right in the very front, and held me down there. I'm trying to see who it was, and there was nobody there. And it was quite forceful, quite forceful. And then I heard God say, "I am your God. Music is not your God." And it changed my life. As I'm going along now in my life, and I look back on that moment, every knee will bow to Jesus, right? And that's what I wasn't doing. My knee was not bent, and the Holy Spirit did that. He pushed me down onto my knees, and I've never been the same since. So previous to that point, I was a very negative person. I would speak death. I would be very critical of other musicians or whatever, other people. I was very, very critical. When I came up from that, I was no longer critical. And it amazed me how much of an encourager I became as to being critical, right? And I think that what happens is that when God gives you a gift, and He's given me a gift of encouragement. I believe that strongly in my heart. I'm a peacemaker and an encourager, right? When you're living in the carnal, the opposite happens, right? That gift of encouragement becomes the a gift of criticism, right? So it was a dramatic change for me, a really dramatic change. So I had to just receive that, and I have been learning to do that, and it's been quite the journey. But I've really stepped into it because I know that's what God has for me, right? And so I'd like to play a song, and it has to do with when God does something in your life. The changes that happen were not to fear, right? Because he's got us, right? The song says, I have redeemed you, and I've called you by name. He's not just calling whatever. He calls you by your name. Child, you are mine. And when you walk through those waters, I'll be there, right? This is from Isaiah, and so it's a song that was being very, very meaningful for me, because I've walked through those waters and through the flames, right? And he's been so faithful to me. So we'll sing it. So you have to know that God has set you apart for a purpose, right? Your life just isn't random, and that's something that I've just have so found out, that my life is not random. That God has a plan for me. He's had a plan for me ever since I was conceived in my mother's womb, right? And the only thing, I'm just sorry that it took so long for me to get there, right? Because it's a wonderful, amazing life. It is such a wonderful, amazing life. And I thank the Lord that he's relentless, and he will not let us go. It's his will for us to become his children, right? And so, that's right. So in the past 8 years or so, Maria and I have been involved in a Bible study with the Milners, and we have been learning the foundation of healing and the efficacy of his word in our lives, and how important that is. And so in the past 8 years, we've really built a foundation, you know, a real solid foundation, because of the health issues that have come into my life, and so it's been it's, well, look at it this way. It's the parable of the two builders, right? You know, you've got the contractor who built on the rock, on the solid foundation, and you've got the contractor who built on the sand. And Arnie, I think you know about this, right? Your foundation has to be 100%. It's got to be strong, right? And so in those 8 years, that foundation was built, right? And so when this storm came into our lives, we were ready for it. We were ready for it. It did not make us fear, right? We just had such a sense that the Lord's hand upon us, and that he was not going to let us go. He was not going to let us go. Another song that we're going to sing, and it's one that I sing with joy, because it's talking about pressed but not crushed, persecuted but not abandoned, right? We go through things in our lives, but that doesn't mean that we have to be crushed by them, because we're blessed beyond the curse, for his Amen. Promises will endure, right?
Amen.
So amazing, right? Because it just says what our hearts are crying out to say, right? You have to love that. So when I got my diagnosis, he gave me the scripture from Psalm 118:17, which says, "You will not die, but declare the works of the Lord." And I'm standing on that word. And this is what I'm doing right now, declaring the works of the Lord, right? He has done such amazing things. And the next word he gave me was from Psalm 27. "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And he just gave me word after word after word. I have a binder full of his word that just so encourages me. And I'm here today because of that. It's his word that strengthens me. It's his word that gives me life, right? And what a life it is. I'll tell you what a life it is. I have to wake up every morning to a new reality, but you know what? The real reality is that his love endures forever. And I just receive that. I don't receive what's happening in my body. I receive his love into my life. And I so believe that he has got good for me, and that this is just temporary. And I just thank you for that. I'm going to sing one more song. And this song talks about our belief. And actually, we'll probably sing two more songs. But I'm just going to read you the chorus because it just says it all. It says, "I believe you are who you say you are. You do what you say you'll do. You'll come through. That's right. You are always, always able. Amen. I believe you've already made a way. So I'm running through parted waves straight to you. You are always faithful, always faithful. Thank you, Lord."
I believe you.
Hallelujah, absolutely. The Lord is so good. The Lord is so good.
Thank you,
so
Jesus.
Good. So I have lots of pages here, so I'm... Here we go. So, how are my 30 minutes doing? So I'm not sure how many here have ever gone through the dark night of the soul. Has there been people who have gone through the dark night of the soul? Right? You know? Yeah. And if we lose somebody or you're sick or whatever it is, right? We all have those moments. And I had a few of those after my operations. One night, I was in a lot of pain, and I was feeling very nauseous. And I, you know, when you feel nauseous, you can't get away from it, right? It's just something just hangs on you. And I was in agony, quite. And of course, you know, from the foundation that we had set, you know, I knew the prayers to pray, you know, and I'm taking my authority, you know, over the sickness, over the pain. And it just was overwhelming. Just kept coming and kept coming, and so I started to plead with God, right? And that's something I don't want to do, is plead with God, right? Just because he's given us the authority over our bodies, right? And I just didn't know what to do. I was just thrashing around, and so he gave me this revelation. And it just settled my heart completely. And he said, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? You know, he said, "Can this be taken from me?" Right? "Can this what I have to step into, can it be taken from me? And he knew that he was going to be going to not only his death, but also all of the scourging and all of that, the stripes on his back. So he knew that he was he's going to be going into a lot of pain and suffering. You know, what God said to me, he said, Jesus went through that suffering for the joy set before him. And I thought, oh my goodness. It's not about the suffering. It's not about the pain. It's not about any of that. It's about the joy set before us. And that joy is the relationship with our Father God, who loves us unconditionally, right? And it just settled me right down. And I, ever since then, anything, any pain that comes against me, any sickness that comes against me, I just think of the joy that the Lord has given me, right? The joy set before me. And because, you know, those things can overwhelm us, that the pain and the suffering, and we start to look at that instead of looking at our Savior, looking at Jesus, looking at the Father, right? And so no matter, because that's what Jesus did. He looked to the Father and said, you know, your will be done, Lord. Yeah, so. Absolutely, right? So no matter what, no matter what now, I'm so settled in this that he has given me the identity that I am his son. I am a treasured son, just like each and one of you are. Treasured daughter, treasured son, right? It's not what we do. It's not who we are in that sense. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And so we need to seek him for that and say, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me give up that's getting in the way of our relationship, right? So the thing that we can do is that we can trust God no matter what. And we were just singing about that. Psalm 34 says, I love this. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Yes. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is so good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Yes. Yes. That dark night of my soul, this song kept going through my mind and in my heart. It was because it just spoke to my heart so much. Because this is all I had left. All I could do was trust in God. And it was more than enough. More than enough. More than enough. He will never fail us. He will never fail us. Yes. Yes, Lord. I trust God, my Savior. Oh, this is my story. So that's a bit of my story. I have to say that having this health challenge in my life has been quite something, but it's taken me deeper, and that's the thing, that what the enemy meant for evil, God has turned to good, right? I have never been so close to my Heavenly Father. And He is so faithful. He is so faithful. And He is so good to me. And He's so good to all of us, right? He loves each and every one of you with such a deep, deep love, right? And so I just encourage you to go deep and really seek His face. For when you turn towards Him, He turns towards you, right? Seek Him with all your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God. Then all these things will be added unto you, right? So, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God.
There we go. Oh, that'll do it. There is no limit to what God can do in each and every one of our lives.
Amen.
None. And because God is so amazing, because God is so intentional about each of us living a life for Him, He meets us where we're at. So one of us may say, oh, that verse doesn't apply to me, and this doesn't apply to me, and I want to read it my way. That's not what God intends. God intends for us to get into His Word. God intends for us to be in relationship with Him. And we're going to pray in a minute. And I think God gave me this summary in Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yes.
Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun all evil. And here's the promise that comes after. This will bring health to your body.
Thank you, Lord.
And nourishment to your bones.
Amen.
As we yield to Him, He can do far more in us than any of our thoughts and best wishes and mantras. And if I claim and if I do, God can do far more.
Yes.
With a yielded vessel.
That's right.
We've been going through a prayer journey in another situation too. And one of the verses we had was, be still and know.
Yes.
And then we heard, let go and let God. Because the and knowing God is we're letting go of what we think or what we want because we have to give it to God.
Yeah.
And let's not be surprised that He asks us to create a clean heart within us. Let's be honest about where we are. Let's be realistic about what may or may not be in the way of God working. And then He says to us, wait and see. Watch me.
Watch me.
God says, watch me. I can do this. And then the last verse that I was given this week, and you had it in that last song, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Because when it's God doing the work, it's amazing.
Oh, so amazing.
And nothing else will satisfy. So taste and see that God is good. Stand with me. Our students have been amazing.
Yes.
We need to give an honor to the parents who have gone with our wish for our kids to hear this testimony today, to participate in that. So how about everybody stand with me? We're going to say a closing prayer. We're going to ask a blessing for our food. For those who may not have heard, we are having a soup and bun lunch downstairs afterwards. If you you need assistance with an elevator, we have one on this level here. Someone will be able to help you with that. We have plenty of food. We have lots of faith and fellowship amongst us all. You are all invited. We're going to ask parents and guardians to help with their kids and maybe an official or unofficial Oma or grandma or grandpa can give a hand as well too. That would be awesome. But let's pray to God right now.
Yep.
Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. Father, thank you all. We thank you for your heart towards us. That was so intentional that your plan included your son dying for us so we could know salvation and freedom from our sins. Because, Lord, that's the first healing we all need. We need to be forgiven of our sins. We need to say sorry to you for the things we have done that have not been in line with who you are and who you want to be in our lives. And sometimes, Lord, we might need to be comfortable with the fact that might be the only healing we may ever see here on earth. But we thank you that your word is full of purposes for each and every one of us. That your word is full, that if we trust in you, O God, if we taste and see that you are good, if we have given ourselves over to you, that we are becoming your child, that we want to be in that relationship with you, Father, then you pour out of yourself into our lives for your purposes for each of our lives, for us to be able to have the story that says, God is good. Even in those dark moments of the soul, you are there.
Yes.
For those things that are amazing and wonderful, Father, we thank you, and we wish to express gratitude to you for the health we do have, for the families we have, for the jobs we have, for the friends we have, for the relationships we have. Lord, may we ever be mindful that in this world, things can change like that, but you never change. Your word never changes. Your intention for us to serve you as your children, to be your servants for your glory, that has never changed. So, Father, your plan with Jesus, your son, and the fact that we get to participate as vessels of your Holy Spirit. It's not our power. It's not our power. It is the power of the Holy Spirit working through a willing vessel to do in your good will. And all these events in our lives need to bring us to that understanding. Father, help that sink in. Help that sink in. Father, may we be transformed by your power. Not because of our talent, not because of our time, not because of our geniality or our wisdom or our talents or our gifts or anything you have. Lord, let us be a vessel that lets go and lets you do the job. Help us not to run ahead of you. Help us always be in pace with you. Help us to be marveling at what you can do and what you will do, and that we marvel now at what you have done in each of our lives to this moment. For that we say thank you. Father, may this week have moments of difference for each and every one of us. As we dig deeper into the word, as we ask you to show us what you have for us, you will. You're faithful that way. And Lord, now, as we leave from this particular place, for those, and we pray everyone joins us for lunch. Father, we ask your blessing on the food, to the nourishment of our bodies. Father, we ask for your blessing on our fellowship as we build each other up with encouragement, and that we would glorify your name in doing so. And Russell just answered our prayer. He's hungry. So, Father, we say amen. A few instructions.